Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermès, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, the podcast where we cover all the pop culture we love to hate, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. I'm looking at you, Jax Taylor. I'm your host, Ryan Bailey.
Is coming on. I ain't happy. I'm feeling glad I got sunshine in a bag. I'm useless, but not for long. The future is coming on.
Everything will be just fine. Everything will be all guys. Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is Ryan Bailey. We're in another week. We're starting the week together as a family. if you guys don't know, I'm in Italy right now. I'm at a wedding. So I'm just dead tired. I've been partying all night. I just got my full, my first body tattoo. I got a I can't even keep the joke going. I'm just making a stupid Kravis joke, which, by the way, so we all saw Courtney's dress, right? It's like everything's Dolce & Gabbana. Dolce & Gabbana sponsored the whole thing. They're probably eating Dolce & Gabbana spaghetti. Who knows? It's a lot of Dolce & Gabbana. I do want to point out that if I ever get remarried, I would like Old Navy to sponsor everything. I want people being like, more Old Navy? I want my mom to be walking down in Old Navy. I want everybody there in Old Navy. I want Old Navy. Like, they had Dolce & Gabbana, like, little boats that took them to the wedding. Well, I'm talking about Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker got married this weekend. Of course, I act like you guys all know, but you probably do. But if not, mom, if you're listening, Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker finally got married so they can finally finger each other legally. hey, kids. But they had these little boats, these really fancy boats that would take them to and from. And Dolce & Gabbana paid for all of this, which is just, Kris Jenner is just such a smart lady. I mean, we might all make fun of it, but I mean, I have a feeling that a lot of this just was a free wedding, which is just wild. But like, I'm picturing like Old Navy would buy little dinghies instead of boats. Like Old Navy, you know, like Old Navy would get the job done. You know, like I would totally be down for an Old Navy sponsored wedding. Like, I think that we would still find a way to be classy because, guys, you don't need millions of dollars to look cool. And that's what Old Navy is all Old Navy is all about. Come on, man. I know somebody's got to work for Old Navy. There was somebody that listened to the show that did work for Old Navy once, and they gave me a friends and family coupon. And it was like a pretty big day. It expired like that day, though, so I don't think I got anything. But it was like a big – like, I just remember going, like, you've made it. Like, you finally made it, Ryan. And I was just – I didn't even tell anybody because I was just like, is this real? But then I was like, oh, I the coupon expired. How are you guys doing? Real quick, let's get all the commercial shit out of the way. Sorry for the language. If you like the podcast, rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can review it on both. It really does help. And it takes a quick little flip of your thumb or whatever finger you choose to use. Also, Patreon. We did an hour and 45 minute Patreon talk back where I did it on YouTube and we sent you a private link. And it was really fun, I think. So we're going to be doing more of those. There was something else. Oh, YouTube, you guys. Go subscribe to the YouTube channel. So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. Countess Luann was on this week. Tiffany Moon. We got more videos coming out this week, but it's helpful that you subscribe. I'm going to start doing like little 10-minute videos on there, like top five pop culture moments of the day. And it'll just be me being silly, talking about whatever popped up that day in addition to the podcast. So if you're a YouTuber or you love watching YouTube, go on over there. I believe our Sophie Mondays will start going up on YouTube as well. So this is all really exciting stuff. And I would love for you to join in on that journey with us as we kind of just figure it all out together. But at the end of the day, the point is to have fun and to laugh and to be silly, which is kind of what those are my three mottos. Did you guys see the artwork Meditza Lopez did for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recap we did on Friday? It was a Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. Do you remember the famous Elton John album? And it always sticks in my mind because my parents had that album, that vinyl, which I was like, man, I wish now vinyl's all cool again. I wish my parents like kept all their vinyl. Anyways, neither here nor there. But I said, Meditza, is there any way you can do like Goodbye? Because Elton John fundraiser with Lisa Rinna, it was all the rage. And she made the most beautiful piece of art. I want it framed in my room. You guys need to go check it out. Go smash that like button. And also, if you haven't listened to those Beverly Hills recaps, it was so fun. I was choking laughing talking about the Garth Brooks thing on Friday. So hopefully you guys are joining in on the journey with me on that. I looked at the numbers. I usually don't look at numbers because it kind of throws me off and I just just start thinking about the wrong things and not about the deep art of what I do. But I did, and it looked like for that first episode, you guys really showed up. So thank you so much for that. Today is a fun episode. We had a blast talking with Sophie. I mean, I had a blast. I'm not referring to myself as we, but I had a blast talking to Sophie. So I think you guys are going to have fun listening to it. We have all Kardashian stuff. We get into Summer House. We get into Beverly Hills. We get into Nick Cannon possibly getting a vasectomy. Like, I love that he put the funny part of the story for me, he said he got a consultation. I'm like, yo, man, consultation is like, do I want to do this? I think we've all agreed as a culture that you want to do it, Nick. Let's do it. We're, you know, we've got, you know, we're not safe unless you get that vasectomy. You're going to repopulate the earth, even though you keep saying that you don't want to do it. Like, there shouldn't be no more consultations. Like, our public opinion should have been the consultation. When your visit to the vasectomy doctor or whatever we call him, it should have just been the procedure. Like, why did you even tell us you were going? Like, let us know when it's done so we can let our daughters out again. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to your week, folks. Oh, okay. So weddings are huge, right? So we talk about the Courtney and Travis wedding, but there was a wedding that one of our one of our fan favorites we love to hate was at a wedding. And I believe it was at a wedding, and this lady, they became friendly, and her name, of course, is Ramona Singer, and this lady is in love with Ramona, and Ramona put her on her Instagram story, and I wanted to share this audio with you because it just really brightened my day, and hopefully it can brighten yours. So here is Ramona Singer and a fan.
I'm at a wedding at Parrish Art Museum, and I just met the sister of the bride, and what are you trying to tell me?
I am Crystal. I just met Ramona, and I was hysterical almost. She inspired me every day to be so strong and get through what I'm going through. And I couldn't do it without her. I love you, Ramona.
It makes me feel good that you feel that you're able to get it through the craziness of TV, and that makes me feel like what I did.
She's the realest person that you'll ever meet, and the sweetest, most kind person, gentle. And TV, I don't know why it comes off like that, but she's just an amazing woman, and I hope I could be half the
you
mother.
You will be half the mother.
So basically, let me just break that down. Ramona's at a wedding. This is a huge weekend to get married for everybody. By the way, I want to also shout out Raven. You guys might know her at Mainly Bravo. And she had a podcast called Bitches Better. She's been on this pod a couple times. She got married this weekend too. And that is the wedding that I care about. She looked beautiful and amazing. If you guys know Raven from her podcast or online, she's stopped doing it. And it's just such a bummer because she's so damn good at it. But she looked beautiful. And everybody go over and congratulate Raven when you get a sec. But anyway, so this lady, so we're at I'm assuming they're at this wedding, and this lady's there that loves Ramona and goes up and tells Ramona and must have been emotional with Ramona, which we know Ramona doesn't usually handle that well. And Ramona deemed it worthy to say, you know what? I'm going to take that compliment in, and I'm going to, would you mind re-saying everything that you just said for my audience? The ladies, I want to be half the woman, like half the mother that Ramona is. Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. You already did it. You're there. Congratulations. And the, you know, obviously Ramona must have gotten talking to her of like, people hate me, da, da, da. So she's like, I don't know why people, I don't know why it comes off different on TV. She's just an amazing lady, everybody. She's amazing. Also, there is just random pieces of poop everywhere at this wedding. I don't want to say it's Ramona because that would just make, you know, that's TV. It couldn't be her. There's flung poop everywhere. And I know it's not Ramona. We've got to stop blaming Ramona for things. She's a beautiful lady. This lady, I urge you to go watch the video of this because it's even more powerful because they're very tight together on the shot. And I was just like, how many takes did this, you know? Like, was she like, I wasn't feeling it. Do you have it in you to do one more? Of course, Ramona, I love you so much. Please, I love you. And then I kept thinking about, okay, so they shoot this video. Do they, you know, I have a feeling Ramona dumps her at some point and is like, I'm done talking to you. You know, she's like, I got the video. Let's go. But that is, and it's one of those, it's that double-edged sword where Ramona has done some repugnant, horrible things. Some of her views I cannot stomach at all. Yet that to me is amazing TV. Like, I was like, I need to show all my friends, you guys, that moment audio wise. And it's just because you can picture it. We get to know these people and you're like, I can see this situation happening. And it's just so, it's just beautifully frightening and hysterically funny to me. I talk about it in the show, but we are in a really big week of TV. So I don't know if you are if you're prepared. I don't know if you guys can stomach it, if you can handle it. I don't know if you can shut down everything going on in your life right now just to watch TV, because that's, it's going to be a big part of your week. We got Real Housewives of Atlanta that aired tonight. I'm loving it. This season, last week, you guys, Kenya had a birthday party for her, I believe it was her three-year-old or four-year-old, and they had it at this place, which kind of looked like a dingy, like a dingy art museum. It looked like a lot of concrete slab. And she was like, this is perfect for my child. It's like, okay, cool. And then they get there, like Marlo and all of these housewives, they play this game with Kenya decides to play this game where it just ends up like way too sexual and way too dirty to the point where it looked like it was offending other parents there. And that's what you love out of a reality show, is when women get together in a normal situation, a little girl's birthday party at some place ridiculous. Like, you know, I had my birthday parties at like McDonald's or something, and they're at like this kind of weird dingy art museum. And then on top of it, they play a game that involves sex at some point. Like, Candy literally has to say, what was it like? Candy gave somebody a blowjob or something. And even I'm much older than a three-year-old kid. And I was like, damn, what happened? So there's these small moments on Atlanta that I love so much. And I just want to encourage, I don't see it getting the press that it deserves. So please go check that out. Speaking of Atlanta, because we talked about this on their show, I was on Bravo While Black, their podcast that came out on Saturday. Those Aaron and Kaya are amazing, amazing, amazing. Go check that out. And I was also on a Patreon episode of theirs as well. And I dig those guys so much. So go support them if you can. So Atlanta is tonight. We're done with Summer House. My heart is just broken in 1,000 places that it's gone, but it's okay. And we're also done with Jersey. And I'm totally okay with that. I am so ecstatic for Jersey to be over. Now, Jersey wasn't bad. Jersey got great ratings, but like I say every week, it's the Teresa show, and I've seen that show. And it's no offense to Teresa. Also, I'm just not really digging Louis still. I know a lot of you guys were like, he's amazing after Sunday. He just won me over. If that's all it takes is like 10 minutes of like semi-hard questioning, then you guys got to be more careful than that. I really am just not there yet with Louis. We'll see, you know, like in 5 years, if they're still together, man, I'm going to be so happy for both of them. And I'll be like, yo, he really did turn a new leaf. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I hope that's okay with you guys. I'm not. So that's done. Let's see. What else do we have? Oh, this week, I know we got some geeks in the audience. Obi-Wan Kenobi with Ewan McGregor is going to be on Disney Plus. It's very exciting. And Darth Vader is going to be a part of it. Now, Darth Vader, if you guys don't know, is kind of like the Lisa Rinna. But Darth Vader, I think, is actually wealthier than Lisa Rinna and doesn't have a rat problem where he lives. But Darth Vader's going to be in this. And I'm like, I'll always be that 7-year-old kid that just loved Star Wars so much. But I think the housewives and reality shows, they have that same kind of huge characterizations and, these huge arcs and bizarre stories. Housewives are like sci-fi or superhero movies. I say it all the time. It shares similar characteristics. So always you gotta appreciate that. Also, Welcome to Plathville on TLC. I watched the first episode this week and I loved it. I love this show, you guys. Welcome to Plathville. Micah Plath was on this show before, and I would love to talk to more people from the production of this, because it is just such a great reality show. And this first episode didn't disappoint, and the season trailer looks insane. If you don't know, it's about this family that they were raised away from, like, they didn't know any, like, about superheroes. They didn't know about, like, the culture at large. They didn't know about cell phones and TV shows and all the shit that we've been brought up on. And they were raised in kind of like this secluded environment, and their mom taught them how to play instruments, and they did all the cooking and cleaning. And this show, the last couple of seasons, has been about them, these kids, the older ones, learning what it's like on the outside. But this season, you see the parents are starting to fall apart, and the mom is wanting to kind of sow her wild oats a little bit. She bought a ballerina studio, a dance studio in her little town. It's just wild. Like, it's wild. I can't even explain it. My explanations are not going to do it justice. Also, we got the first American version of a reality show. I think it's New Zealand or Australia. I always get those confused and people get mad. Love on the Spectrum, which is a reality show about men and women on the spectrum trying to find love. And I think it is one of the most romantic, funny, beautiful reality shows that I had seen over COVID. And I cannot wait to give the American version a shot, because what I love at the end of the day, no matter a disability, no matter anything, is that we just crave love as humans. And you see, you know, when you distill things to it's like just basic thing of just wanting love, we have so much commonality, and it always just breaks my heart, but makes me laugh, but it makes me laugh in like a heartwarming way. It's like, oh, really? It's good people. And I want to encourage shows like that so we can then watch horrible people on shows like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Let's see. What else do we got this week? I said Summer House is done. Sad. Real Housewives of Dubai is June 1st, so we're good on that. Stranger Things comes out on Netflix. Their final season comes out. 7 episodes will drop this Friday. And then there's going to be 2 more episodes after that. But these episodes are so long, you guys. Some of these episodes are 2.5 hours long, which that's not even an episode anymore. That's one of my podcasts. Hey-o! Southern Charm's going to come out in June, like we said. So I think there's still a lot of TV. Saturday Night Live had its final episode of the season on Saturday with Natasha Lyonne, who I love in Russian Doll on Netflix. If you guys have checked that out, the second season just came out a couple weeks ago, and it's weird. It kind of just came and went. And it's frustrating because those shows are like the shows sometimes you should pay attention to, linear storytelling wise, even though it's a super weird show. You have to follow it closely, but I really enjoy it. A.D. Bryant, Kate McKinnon, and Kyle Mooney. It was their last episode, and Pete Davidson kind of overshadowed that. We have breaking news right before I came on. I had already talked to Sophie because we were wondering if Pete Davidson was going to get there. Not sure if Pete's going to be at the wedding, but Kim Kardashian just posted a photo of her nails. And one of her nails, you guys, is bedazzled with the letter P. So either she's letting us, the viewing audience, know that she is still in love with Pete, because I think that's how you spell his name, with a P, or she's got a P really bad. No, but I think it's the Pete Davidson thing. And I feel so weird getting excited about shit like that, because I'm like, I'm a grown man. And I'm like, oh, man, you didn't pee on her nail. Oh, my God. let's see. What do we got? John Mulaney actually is taking heat. Dave Chappelle opened up for him in Columbus, Ohio, which is where I was born, in Columbus, Ohio. My family is from Columbus, Ohio. And we moved to Kansas when I was like 1.5 or something. And I consider myself from Kansas, but I was born in Columbus and know it fairly well. But John had a sold out arena show, and Dave surprise opened up for it. And I guess, you know, they make you put your phone in these pouches. They did it for me at Chris Rock. So we don't have any footage of this, but there was a lot of blowback on John Mulaney on Twitter because there were some trans jokes that Dave opened the show with. I didn't see the video of this, and I sometimes feel weird. These are one of the stories I want to say take with a grain of salt, because this is just what I'm reading on Twitter and news articles, but I don't have any video proof of this, but told another, you know, Dave Chappelle, love him or hate him, he seems really obsessed with trans. And that is very interesting. And then John Mulaney, I guess, hugged him afterwards, and everybody was very offended. I don't know exactly what the jokes were that were said, but it does seem like Dave Chappelle has a very, you know, just in his stand-up specials on Netflix. And I just, you know, this is a show that I think I want to be about love, you know, I'm personally don't give a rip. I personally sometimes just care if I'm ever going to fall in love, you know, you know, like I hope I find the person. And if you can, if you're lucky enough, just like that Love on the Spectrum, if you're lucky enough to find somebody that you can love, I don't give a fuck who it is. Like, honestly, and why the fuck would it be any of our business? Like, cool. Like, I don't know. The outrage, of course, with all of this stuff. Dave, I'm talking about just woke culture in general, sometimes gets to be a little much. There's so many voices and what you have to decipher, and us, the viewing and listening audience, we have to, our jobs are so much harder than it was in terms of entertainment because we have just 1,000 more voices than we've ever had giving us all sorts of opinions, of information, you know, the Johnny Depp, Amber Heard, you go to one place, you hear this, you go to another, you hear this, and it's hard to like kind of decipher what your opinion on something is, you know, and not just to, you know, go with the masses because it's always, oh, that's the way, you know, we encourage you. And at the end of the show, I say this too, is just dig into this stuff yourself. If it's something that upsets you, if it's something that may try to dig in, try to make sure it's real before it upsets you the way that it does. And I'm not trying to be preachy, even though it might come out off that way, but it's just something that I've done myself, and I've been wrong about a couple things sometimes. I mean, I'm not, the only thing I've never been wrong about is Lisa Rinna being horrible, Jax Taylor being horrible. Everything else, I think I've been wrong about. Oh, this was such a cool story. Selena Gomez hosted the first mental health summit at the White House with the First Lady Jill Biden, which our very own Lex Nico, who has been on this show a bunch of times and will keep coming back, she was there. And she told us this a couple weeks ago on the show, and I was just so proud of Lex. But what a cool thing, because mental health to me is the number one thing that I always say, if I could influence anybody on, it's that, because it is so fragile. And especially with all of the noises and voices and all of that stuff we allow in, mental health, you got to protect it. That's the thing that you got to protect the most. And if we have kids and families, we got to protect theirs as well. And I just thought it was cool that we're doing things like that. And Selena Gomez has been a great champion of mental health, because I know she struggles with it herself. And it's also cool because it breaks down those stigmas that we have of, I even have those own stigmas with myself, that sometimes I talk about this and I get scared that people are going to, like, what if people think I'm crazy? And you're like, well, they already do. But you know, like, and it's like, that's the kind of stuff, that's what we're talking about, stigma, is that it shouldn't matter what I say. If I'm trying to be honest with you guys, hopefully it doesn't affect in a bad way. But that's what sometimes people are scared to come out with their problems, because they're scared how they're going to be perceived by their friends and their family and the world at large. And I just think it's good for things like this and anywhere where you can just say the world's fucked. It is. It's wild. The fact that we're able to live like we are is still such a blessing. And it's, you know, there are things out there that can help. You can get through today. You can get through tomorrow. I was so depressed a couple of weeks ago. I was so depressed. And it was one of those unfortunate things that I knew I had to wait it out. And today I feel really good, but I know tomorrow might be a different thing. You've got to protect it. You've got to be in tune with how you feel and never be ashamed about that. Also, this is interesting, just to spill off of that, because you're going to get Johnny Depp on the stand today with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. Margot Robbie, I guess, is going to be taking over the lead of the new Pirates of the Caribbean movie that they're making, and a new Ocean's 11 prequel. And Margot Robbie, busy as hell, but she's going to be taking over what would be like the Johnny Depp role, which is just like, listen, I didn't know Johnny Depp could be Captain Jack Sparrow. So I'm curious what Margot Robbie is going to bring to the Pirates of the Caribbean multiverse, if you will. Let's see. Oh, and we talk about this. Rihanna had her baby boy. You know, there's just, good for Rihanna. Rihanna's awesome, man. She's, it's just like, you know, it's nice to have those celebrities that you're just like, man, you seem pretty cool. Like, there's nothing that I can say about you. Like, you know, when you live your life above board, or it seems to be, and just kind of do, I don't know, you can't really say anything about that kind of stuff because they're just great. Army Hammer abuse allegations, family scandals will be the focus of a true crime special. A new ID and Discovery Plus called The House of Hammer will be coming out in a couple months. I might be a part of this show, you guys. If you have listened to the show for a while, you might know what I'm talking about. So I'll let you know more information as it comes out to me. Also, we talked about this last week. Real Housewives of Miami star Lisa and Lenny Hochstein are apparently getting a divorce because he's a douchebag and has been cheating, has a new girlfriend already. And, you know, so we're seeing a lot of Lisa out on the town. They're filming the new season of Miami, thank God. But I just kept thinking, just from personal experience, when you split up with somebody, how exhausting it is. You know, like you have to, like, all of a sudden, we see it a little bit with Katie Maloney, which, by the way, did you see the Stassi Schroeder wedding photos of Katie Maloney? Katie looks hot. Like, she looks the best I've ever seen her look. Like, honestly, just like, damn. So congrats. But I know what that is. Like, that's breakup bod. That's break. You know, it's like when you break up with somebody that you love or split up, like, it is the hardest fucking thing. And your mind and your body go into this kind of like, it's like adrenaline kicks in and you're able to do things and look better and all of this stuff that you ever were before, because you're running on pure adrenaline because you are heartbroken in a way. And that's when I see these things of Lisa outside going to all these parties. I'm just like, oh my God, it's so exhausting. Part of the good thing about being in a relationship is you can get fat. You're not, I mean, you know, you can gain weight. You can, like, go watch TV series with your partner. You can do all of this shit. And then you're like, fuck, I have to slap on the old heels and makeup and get on out there again. Like, it's brutal. Like, that's what I see when I see any of these people out after a breakup, is just that I know usually they're probably running on adrenaline and they probably don't want to be there. And they're just like, fuck, I have to go out again. This is not supposed to be in the cards. So thoughts and prayers out there to Lisa. Mexican Pizza came back on Friday. Maritza Lopez, our very own, was very excited. I did not get to have any yet, but I kept picturing of Erica Jane in the first episode. She goes,
I have a problem. I drink too much and wake up with Taco Bell wrappers all over my nude body.
She didn't say nude, but in my head, it's like,
I want to get naked and eat a chili cheese burrito.
So congrats to everybody that loved the Mexican pizza. I had people saying, it's not the same. They made the Tostito thing healthier. And I love people when they were like, I want the bad shit. Also, I said this last week, but Real Housewives of Orange County, Dr. Jen Armstrong splits from husband Ryan. Hopefully, some people were like, oh, and then she'll get a second season. I was like, I figured she'd only get a second season if Ryan wanted to film so we could watch that all go down. Elon Musk says Twitter deal temporarily on hold. I could give a rip. I don't, whatever. Joel McHale is returning to E! This is interesting. He has a new show called Celebrity Beef, which I love Joel McHale. Do you remember Joel McHale and The Soup? It's actually something my dad even loved. My dad loved Joel McHale. Doesn't even watch reality shows really, but he would always watch that. And Joel, they would like focus on reality show clips. And that was like, oh my God, he has my dream job. He was just so funny when it first came out. I think actually there's tons of news stories, but we'll spill that out later this week or as the week goes on, because we got tons of shows for you guys. We've got an actual housewife coming on the show. By the way, last week's shows, I was so proud of them. The Summer House recap, the Beverly Hills recap. We did the 3-part Coyote Ugly recap with Annabelle DeSisto, which I thought that was great as well. And you can listen to that at any time. But overall, I hope you guys have the best week ever. I'm really happy to have you guys here listening. If you're new here, thank you for giving this a shot. We're about to go crazy because we got Sophie Ross coming up and there are a lot of opinions. So have the best week ever. And I will talk to you guys again, I think, on Tuesday. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your week. And we are already starting the week with a bang. Let's just get into it. You know, my Monday co-host, you need to go subscribe to our podcast, So True with Sophie Ross, which is usually on Tuesdays, sometimes on Friday, but I think mainly Tuesday. Also, go subscribe to her Substack, go follow her Twitter, all of that stuff. I would do a whole huff and puff piece about how great she is, but we need to get into things now because we have limited amount of time and there's too much to talk about. Sophie Ross, welcome back to the show.
There is so much to talk about. There's so much going on.
I mean, listen, Rihanna had a baby, okay? And that's not even like the 10th thing that I wanted to, like, Rihanna, like, I like Rihanna so much that I don't even need to talk about it. It's like, good, you had a son. You're great. Awesome. Next.
I think it's so funny also how Rihanna, everyone thought she was having a girl because she was photographed like holding up baby girl clothes. Like, she knew what she was doing.
Rihanna knows the game, and also, but you respect it. Like, it's not like Kris Jenner where she plays it in a certain way and like plays with people's emotions. I kind of like Rihanna when she does it, it makes me laugh. Like, good on you, Rihanna. You fooled us. I love that, you know?
Right. I'm like dying to know the name.
That's, well, I was saying on Friday's show, is she going to be Rihanna Rocky now? Is Rocky his last name? Is ASAP his first name? Is this baby his like Randy name, Rocky?
His first name is actually as soon as possible. That's what
his first name is. He's a long life. He was named after his grandfather as soon as possible.
Yeah.
He's as soon as possible the second.
Yes.
That actually is like easy pop culture news. Of course, once again, we have the Kardashians sucking all of the pop culture air out of the universe. They're not even on American soil right now. And I just read a tweet that Sophie wrote saying they should not be allowed back in the country until we can figure out what's going on. Let me get your thoughts. What does that tweet mean to you, Sophie?
What the hell? I know we all know by now that the wedding is sponsored by Dolce & Gabbana.
Wait, what? Yo, what? Really?
And by the way, Dolce & Gabbana have been staging a comeback since it got exposed that Stefano and I forgot the other one. They're like terrible people, Stefano especially. Yeah. They've done and said extremely racist things. They've said that IVF babies aren't real babies, really offensive things like that, which is ironic because Kourtney, you know, on this season of the Kardashians is going through IVF.
I know.
So the payday, it must have been big if it was worth it because they all look like clowns. You guys look clowns. Like, okay, what are they wearing?
But wait. And the other thing is, did you see that comment, Stefano, on a Kardashian's Instagram a long time ago about how cheap the Kardashians look?
Yes.
That's why it's so funny that this partnership is actually even happening to begin with.
Yeah, he called them cheap. It was probably like 3 or 4 years ago.
Maybe they're not cheap anymore. No, but what's great is that like even little Rain's in Dolce & Gabbana, Penelope's in Dolce & Gabbana, like the it is. And you know what the funny thing is, you know, isn't like weddings are supposed to be like a bride's day. And to me, this feels way more Travis than Kourtney.
Yeah. I mean, that's what everyone's saying, that it seems like very like Twilight, like the whole, like all of it, like the red theme, and that it seems very like Travis, like trying to be like goth and punk, which.
Well, today, by the way, they got married on World Goth Day. Today, the 22nd is World Goth Day, which is hysterical.
Are you serious?
I'm totally serious.
They would. They would.
Well, the Volturi is about to get Travis. I think they're about to hunt him down. I mean, they all look pale. Everybody looks like they're following each other. It's like the Godfather on acid. But
it's
at the same
so creepy.
Time, well, but at the same time, I hope they're loving every second of it because I'm loving every second of it from a comedic standpoint. I think nobody else is giving us this kind of ridiculousness. I just wish they would share the wealth with other celebrities right now because it's all coming from, like, did you see how tired Kim looks? Kim looks like she's dead.
Yeah. And also since she destroyed her hair at the Met Gala.
Horrible.
Yeah, her wig looks so bad. Like, I just can't believe these are like the looks that they're going with to be photographed forever, you know? I will say that Chloe looked really good at the actual wedding. She's wearing like
this like sunbeam thing over her.
Yeah,
thing.
Like the crown is really random, but she looked really good. I think Kendall and Kylie have looked like okay, but like Kourtney just looks a mess.
On Kylie's Instagram stories, Kendall is like waddling upstairs. And yeah. I don't think Kendall even knows how to walk properly, like a real person. Like she doesn't know how to cut cucumbers, doesn't know how to walk upstairs. I think she's not been taught basic things.
She definitely doesn't know how to walk down a runway. That's for sure. But no, it looks like her dress was just like really tight. So she like couldn't move. But I thought that was interesting because we never get to see them. We never see personality from their Instagram stories. And I was like,
Kylie,
oh.
Sometimes, like today was actually kind of fun. I saw Kylie where a couple times I kind of chuckled to myself, like she might have a personality.
Yeah, I think deep down there's like a sense of humor and personality that we never see it. And I think that that's like, there's such a disconnect, I feel like, with like the whole world. And I don't know. I feel like even I've been watching the Kardashians, I'm finally like caught up. And it still is so sterile feeling, like we're not getting the real them, but I don't know.
Oh, completely. I mean, listen, I just think it's hysterical. And also I did a TikTok on this earlier of like the people not there. Where's Corey Gamble? Where is Chris's boy toy? Where is he? He loves a free vacation. He loves yachts. Like did Chris remove his like vacation pay or like his travel pay? Like, cause Corey usually is front and center at shit like this and he's nowhere to be found. Caitlyn Jenner, not there. Scott,
that's not surprising.
Well, you know, Caitlyn was like, yeah, let me come, please.
Yeah, baby.
I'll be cool. I swear. Mason is there, but he's not really in a lot of photos, even though I think Mason's looking cool again. I saw a photo of him like 2 days ago. Little Rain is starting to grow on me. Who else? Addison Rae not there.
Rain is still a toddler.
I know Rain, I thought was about to go to college. Turns out he's only like 4 years old or something like that.
Like he has not grown. He's still a toddler, but he looks really cute. And Penelope looked really cute, like the gown that she was wearing. She looked adorable.
I've always said this. Penelope looks like she sees dead people. She looks like she could see through you immediately and go, Sophie, you're only going to live until you're 83 years old. You'll die on a beach. Like she looks like she has that kind of information.
Well, she always, I feel like just in general, it's not even just the kids, but like all of them have looked kind of miserable. Like, I know that it's like paparazzi. They're probably like annoyed, but like none of them look genuinely happy. I guess like I'm very happy for Courtney getting like her fairy tale wedding happy ending. Like love that. But like the rest of them look so freaking miserable.
I'm so like, listen, I can make fun all I want, but it is nice at the end of the day to make fun of something where I genuinely, as creepy as it may seem to me, seems like they're definitely happy. Travis is starting to wear on me a little bit just from watching the Kardashians, his little weak voice. It was cool. Mark Hoppus, the lead singer of Blink-182, was there. And that kind of warmed my heart because he had cancer a year ago and now he's in remission. And that was cool to see. Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox were there. So I was.
Ew, did you see Machine Gun Kelly's like cheetah print suit?
Yeah, he loves those type of suits now. Did you see, though? So I was expecting this ties into one of the stories of SNL, like Kate McKinnon, A.D. Bryant, Pete Davidson. Their last show of SNL forever was last night. Pete Davidson did a weekend update bit. He did a videotape bit with Eminem, but it got cut for time. But he didn't stay for good nights at the end of the show. So in my head, I was like, did he hop on a private jet to go to Italy? His BFF Machine Gun's there, you know?
I actually heard, I can't reveal my sources.
Oh, yes.
But I heard that Pete was like, can I host? He asked Lorne Michaels if he could host this episode of SNL as like a farewell send-off thing. And Lorne Michaels was like, no.
Are you kidding me? No, I know.
Well, it's like, I've retweeted so many tweets about this that so many people are like, oh, Pete Davidson, that's like the headline instead of Kate McKinnon and A.D. Bryant, who have been like
staples. And yes, staple. Yeah.
Yes. And they're so, both of A.D. and Kate have been such, yeah, like you said, staples. Like they actually like play different roles and have like so much versatility. Like they'll be so missed. Like what does Pete Davidson do on SNL to play like the dumb, like he plays himself.
I was talking about this today with somebody that saying that Pete is actually more similar to the Kardashians than we give him credit for, because he is somebody that is known for not really like, it's just Pete gives off a good vibe, I guess, and he's funny, but he's not known for characters like SNL was. He also will admit that he's not close with the other SNL cast members. He doesn't rehearse. He doesn't hang out during the week. He shows up, does his bit, goes. He's never at the after party usually. So I find that interesting, though, but he is the one that's getting all of the press when it's like he does, you know, it's like this thing is SNL is like supposedly built around like a, not a family environment, but they all are in the trenches together. And Pete has escaped a lot of that because he's just too famous for that show in a lot of ways. So it's interesting, though, he's sentimental, but it's always because of Lorne Michaels gave him this huge opportunity, which he did, and his life changed, which it did. But think about it. Ariana Grande, Kim Kardashian, like just wild shit. But A.D. Bryant and Kate McKinnon have done way more for that show and way more for females in comedy than anything. Just amazing.
Women.
What, I'm not supposed to say females?
Yes. I've told you this, Ryan.
Oh, women. Sorry, women. But women in comedy.
You're right. That Pete is known way more for being a tabloid fixture than for like his actual body of work.
It'll be interesting to see what he does. In fact, they just announced his Peacock show at Upfronts, and Edie Falco plays his mom, and it's another project where Pete plays Pete, you know, where he lives in his mom's basement. But it's Edie Falco, so good. She's such a good actor.
I saw that, and I was like, wasn't King of Staten Island, like, based on Pete's
his
life
story
also?
Too.
It's like, is his life that interesting? I know that, like, you know, his dad tragically died in 9/11, firefighter. Yeah. Do we need this many Pete Davidson biographies?
Well, I was saying on Friday's show is that supposedly he's filming a movie in Australia. And I heard the rumor that Kim was supposed to take the kids to Australia and live there. But, you know, who knows? The relationship could be done, too. I mean, we don't know, really. We haven't had a spotting of them in a second.
Yeah, I'm going to call it right now. It's only going to be a few more months.
Kanye, you guys, if you're noticing, he's in New York. People have eyes on him. He was at the Balenciaga show in New York, still wearing that really ugly leather jacket and boots, but it looks like he's doing okay otherwise, which is great. Like I said, Scott was spotted in West Hollywood last night, hanging out with Kimberly Stewart, Rod Stewart's daughter. And he looks like he's like, that's okay. I'm having a good time here. Nah, I don't need to be there. Screw you guys. So they're all good. I mean, have you heard anything else crazy about this wedding before we move on to the next thing?
I will say that just watching the last episode of The Kardashians, Scott's Coke voice has gotten
the eyes in the talking head. It's so red. Like,
yeah, like you can tell he's strung out and his voice has been affected by.
He's irritable. Yeah, just it's always. It's always so tight.
Yes. Like he needs an intervention or something. And I mean, I'm sure he's not coping well this weekend. No. So I mean, I hope he has a support system. I don't think he does.
But I feel like we do this with men all the time, myself included, where, you know, the sympathy that Scott gets for a decade now is wild. This man had so many chances. And yet we still, just because he gives good sound bites, they're like, oh, come on. He's a good guy. He says the right things on TV, but guys, he's been given so many opportunities to prove it to Courtney and he couldn't do it. So the fact that we still give him the, oh man, he must really be bumming out this weekend. Yeah. But we say that so many times, like when Courtney was with Eunice, when Courtney was with, we've said this so much for Scott.
No, and I've been Scott's biggest critic, but it's more like a Lisa Rinna voice. He might be close to death at this point. Like just not, I'm like just worried about anyone who's in that situation who clearly has a drug problem and doesn't have
allegedly
has a drug problem, does not have a family, doesn't seem to have a support system other than yes people that probably just use him for his PJ, and like 20-year-old models. I'm like the biggest Scott critic, and I think he has done this to himself. He's made the bed that he's lying in right now.
But still charming as hell. And like I'm saying, even with all of that, you guys, he's still more entertaining than Courtney. Yeah. Like that's why the family keeps him around. Did you read that thing this week about the security guard that's suing Kris Jenner and said she's addicted to horror, said she's addicted to these scenarios of like, she loves trauma. And she's addicted to having her kids go through trauma, which is like, I don't know if you can base a lawsuit on that, but it's a really interesting idea.
It makes sense.
I mean, think about how much they've weathered and think like Kris always kind of like, haha, you know, those Mother's Day flower she got from Tristan, Scott, all of these people. And she posted it on their stories. And I go, how dark is it for all those women, for their mom to post all of these flowers from their exes? Like Tristan flat up made Chloe look like a clown. And Kris is always like, look at Tristan. He's such a good guy. It's weird.
That is so interesting. Was it the bodyguard that is also she sexually assaulted?
Actually, yeah. Alleged. Yeah. That, I think allegedly. That's what it alleges. Yeah.
So yeah, there's that. But yeah, I mean, I think that as much as we look at the Kardashians, like, oh my God, they have the perfect lives. They get to have all of these experiences around the world. Great. They have so much money. Fine. they have that monster as a mother. And they seem, like I said, they all look just like empty. Like, it's almost like, it's too much when you have that much money at your disposal. And yeah.
Which I just keep thinking about the pure exhaustion levels that these, like, Kim barely looks like she can stand in this wedding. And I'm like, it's like, as fun as this is to make fun of, it's exhausting to talk about. So I can't imagine what it's like to live through it. These people need a whole month break. It's been too much. There's too much going on in that family. They need to chill out for a bit.
And I think, like, yeah. And so many of them, I feel like Kylie especially has been like, I wasn't meant to be famous. If it weren't for like my family, I'd be like on a farm somewhere. She was kind of thrust into the spotlight. And now she's doing the same thing to Stormy. And it's
she's
like
I'd be riding the rails, just, you know, hopping on trains.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great thing, because the Billboard Music Awards last Sunday night, we had Travis Scott's triumphant return to televised performing. They trotted out Stormy, you guys, on a red carpet and made her like wave to press and stuff. And it, you know, the thing is, you could be like, well, that's the family and da da da. So that's what you do. But the other way to look at it through the lens of, well, you know, Travis is trying to get as little shit as possible for 10 deaths at an Astroworld. So why not trot Stormy out to kind of take a little bit of that heat off of him? Or at least a lot of articles I read had that lens.
Yeah. And I actually talk about this in the episode of my podcast that's coming out Tuesday. But yeah, I think that it's extremely, first of all, he's definitely trying to put on like the family man front with Kylie and Stormy, even though he hates Kylie and all of these videos that show them on the red carpet. Like, she tries to kiss him on the lips. He like doesn't, he doesn't go for it. Like,
and he has that longtime girlfriend. Like, what's her name on Instagram? Young Sweetro or something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. But yeah, I think it's like, it's not like he said something. And I know that P. Diddy like was like, I'm canceling cancel culture. And it's like, it's not like he said something offensive. Like, he is responsible for 10 deaths. And yeah. I'm not ready for Travis Scott again. I know that the families of his victims definitely aren't.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, you would think that someone would have the wherewithal to like stay out of the public eye for a little bit, just out of respect. But it's like, he doesn't have that. The Kardashians don't have that. I mean, not that, you know, they're tied to Astroworld, but it's like, Kylie taking Stormy on the red carpet and being with Travis Scott. It's like, how do you think those families feel right now that he's staging this comeback and this rebrand? It's like just so disgusting.
But psychologically, I always wonder how people like Kylie actually, what Kylie, like 24, 25 years old, in her head, am I thinking like, is she like, oh my God, Travis wants me there? Is she still at a point of like, oh, I want Travis to really like me? Like, what is going through her head? Is she like a lovesick teenage girl? Like, what is the mentality that we really don't have? I don't have a clue of what, if Kylie's like, fuck them, I want to make as much money as possible, you get your ass. Is she like a little Kris Jenner, or is she completely innocent, just wanting this dude she's had two kids with to really like her?
I don't know, because we don't really know. We know that Travis like has this full-time girlfriend that's not Kylie. And they said in that one W Magazine interview that like never, I don't think it ever even became a thing, because it was right after Astroworld, that they're like in an open relationship. Like, I don't know, because you would think that like, if it's just for PR, that she would sever that, you know, tie with Travis, because he's gotten nothing but bad PR for the past 6 months.
But they have it drilled in by Kris that you always respect the husband and father. You always respect the father. Kris has drilled it in. We even see that in the Kardashians, where, you know, Kris is telling Kourtney, well, you just got to make sure the kids know you and Scott are a united front. Like, she really has nailed it into the kids that these men, even if they cheat, lie, steal, whatever, it's okay. You still need to forgive them.
It's interesting that she acts like she cares about the kids' well-being when she's traumatizing them as much as she's traumatized her own kids.
Picture a wardrobe upgrade with quality essentials at an unbeatable price. Quince has you covered with timeless pieces that never go out of style. You will have them in your closet forever. You guys, I got the blue sports jacket. I got the leather coat. I got the cashmere socks. I've bought gifts for my sister and my dad, and I love it. A black leather coat? Are you kidding me? I can wear that anywhere. And what's so amazing is that these prices I can afford. Quince has all the must-haves like Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They do this by partnering directly with top factories. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes that savings on directly to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad. Folks, I have been to a lot of weddings in my day, and I'm going to go to a couple of this summer, and it is always amazing to see because you get to eat the different food, you get to see the different venues, the emotion, the style, and you are taking mental notes for your future weddings. It's so stressful, the process. You go from like newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preferences. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. So start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Like,
I wonder what she thinks. I wonder what she thinks. Like, I wonder, because you know she thinks through all of this shit. So I really truly wonder, she's a gifted business person. Like, I really wonder how she approaches things. You know, did you see that at the Met Ball when she had Elon Musk and she was like doing his tie? She was like redoing Elon Musk's tie, Kris Jenner. And she did the same thing with James Corden when Khloe was on the James Corden show on the show. And I was like, what an interesting tactic she takes to powerful men. She starts fixing their tie. And I was like, even little things like that. I think Kris Jenner is thought out to shit like that, you know, which is amazing.
Yeah, for sure. I worry about the next generation of Kardashian kids. Like, I hope they're okay.
Well, they're the ones that are going to, you know, be in control of all of pop culture. So it's going to be interesting to see. Speaking of Scott, though, Scott used to date Amelia Bedelia. And I wanted to go into Real Housewives of Beverly Hills a little bit because we had the second episode. We finally got to meet Diana Jenkins. Diana Jenkins, what's up? What did you think of Diana? What did you think of her boy toy?
Someone on Twitter called her Faux Londa, which I love.
Yes, Yolanda. Well, because it's like, hello, what's going on? I'm trying to work on it, but it's like a very interesting accent. And she comes from Sarajevo. She's nouveau riche. She was wearing like 80 billion panther rings and necklaces and just a sick amount of jewelry, where it was hysterical because we were in a conversation with PK and Tariq about their home invasion. And she has like literally $250,000 worth of jewelry on her neck, which just shows you the conflicting messages in this show, which I love. Did you like it?
Yeah, no, I don't like when the newbie on whatever franchise gets involved in the drama between
immediately. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just stay out of it. You don't know the story. And of course she's like siding with Rinna. Like, I hated that. And fuck Rinna. And I'm obsessed with Sutton pulling out the receipts, not backing down, not feeling intimidated.
And Garcelle encouraging her, which was awesome. Yeah, like, I love, you know, Sutton, Erica, this is your time.
What about Erica going slander?
Slander. Oh, she's almost, Erica's now, it's like barely a whisper. She can yell as hard as she wants, but nobody, do you notice how nobody's really giving a shit? It's like, you just got to stop believing her, guys. Like, she has no power. She holds nothing anymore.
There was like one preview of the next episode, so this upcoming episode, where Kyle, of course, Dorit, they're talking about Dorit's panic attacks. And Kyle thought that was the perfect time to tell the group about how Sutton like didn't have the right reaction to Dorit's robbery story. And Erica was like, are you serious? That is so insensitive.
Oh, dude.
It's like the audacity, just no self-awareness.
Her and Rinna, they are so fucking like, Rinna was like, I can't believe you brought it up on Watch What Happens Live. You gonna mess with Harry? And it's like, girl, do you know how you butt into, like Denise Richards literally said, I have a family, don't do this. And she kept pushing in something she wasn't involved in at all. So the fact that Rinna, it's so hypocritical, but I got to tell you, it's great TV, but I think Rinna is ruining her reputation year after year, which is kind of fun to watch.
She's so evil. They're so evil. Like, actually, also Erica Jane and Christine Quinn on Watch,
oh, on Watch What Happens Live.
Like, I was like, I feel icky just watching this.
The Emperor has no clothes. They couldn't have a, it was just so weird. Right. Erica's not as funny as she thinks she is.
Oh, I know. And I don't know. It's like, there's a difference between a TV villain and someone that I think is patently like a horrible person. And both Christine and Erica fall in that category for me where they're not even enjoyable to watch. I think that maybe that's why I couldn't even get through Selling Sunset the last season. I was like, I just don't care about Christine drama anymore. I don't want to watch this evil person.
Well, I was talking about this in a way with Diana Jenkins because, you know, I didn't love the butting in, but I did love that I got more out of Diana Jenkins' little story with her, like, you know, when we got to her house and got to meet her, you know, kid and all this stuff. I got more out of that little piece than I've gotten in terms of knowing Erica in like three seasons or anything on Selling Sunset. Like, at least I'm like, okay, from Sarajevo, worked, picked her up by bootstraps, went to London. Like, these are like kind of fascinating things where I was like, okay, it looks like she's willing to share some shit. Where Erica, we've gotten nothing from in three, like even with Rinna, at least she's like ridiculously reacting to something involving her, even though it's not that much of a storyline. But Erica has shared nothing. Everybody on Selling Sunset should be just ashamed of themselves because we don't know shit about any of those people, like at all.
Right. Exactly. Selling Sunset, I can't even like, when it's the robots. Next season comes out, like, I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. Like, I found it so not entertaining this past season. And yeah, I agree. We know nothing about Erica's backstory other than, you know, she was a single mom. Then she was a stripper and she married Tom. But it's like, we never really get to know who she is.
No, it's always like,
I like big dicks. Yeah. And sometimes not so big of dicks.
So insufferable.
Like, it's like, we get it.
The Fox 5 in general, like, they really do need to be dismantled. And also, like, I still do, and I know I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I still do have questions about Dorit's robbery.
Well, a lot of people do, Sophie. And you know, it's so funny. I was on the side of this completely happened, but I've gotten so much pushback from people in my DMs or emails or something like that, like pointing out all of these things. And listen, I just don't think Dorit is that good of an actor that she could. Oh, by the way, how amazing was Dorit? My father was in the Israeli army and taught me how to not be afraid of bees. I thought that was classic Dorit.
Yeah, it's like, okay, what does that have to do with anything? Yeah, the bee story.
Which is like, I want the Lifetime movie of that scene of like, Dorit, look at that bee. Do not be scared.
Holding the bees by the wings.
Yes, and then eventually we see Dorit growing up just catching bees by their wings, you know?
Yeah, but like, I don't know. Someone else pointed out, it was like, Dorit was probably about to be demoted before the season. Like,
I agree with that.
He was probably about to be demoted. How convenient, how perfectly timed that this would happen on like the one of the first days of filming.
Well, listen, if there's no way Bravo would ever be a part of anything like that, so yeah, they would not know at all.
I agree.
The other thing that I
saw a theory that maybe like PK orchestrated it because they also were in debt and they got an insurance payout, which helped them pay off this debt they were in. And it's like, maybe PK coordinated it, but Dorit didn't know. But then why were her kids, for the one time they weren't sleeping with her when they always sleep with her? And why would you turn off your alarm system just because you thought your kids, like most alarm systems don't, it doesn't matter how much you move around inside, it's outside movement that activates it.
So, and the other thing was that the burglars had a backpack. But when they left, the backpack would have had to have been in the comforter, but they didn't have the backpack leaving.
Yeah, the backpack was gone.
And also the phone was gently placed and was like, so there were little things like that. But like, listen, I've had times in my life where I can't explain why I was there holding the gun when I had murdered that man. No, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like sometimes life is weird like that, but I do get everybody's point. Like I know that it does look weird. And I think with PK and all that stuff, he's come out so hard against people that say stuff like this. But I think if you were PK, the thing that I always ask these people, like, yo, PK, you realize the show you're on and you've seen how many people have lied in the past. You can't necessarily blame the audience for thinking the worst because we're almost trained Pavlovian to think that way. You know, wait, that's what I want to say. The in scene with Sutton and Kyle. Remember when, you know, Kyle was trying to like get Sutton in trouble of like, I can't believe you said that you didn't want a gun. And Sutton, I think Kyle was trying to get Sutton to say that Sutton thought it was a staged robbery and Sutton wouldn't do it. Sutton was like, well, I'll tell you what, Kyle, my dad killed himself with a gun. So there's that. Yeah. Also got burglarized when I was 13. So there's that.
She was like, my dad blew his brains out. And I was like, oh my God, I was not expecting that.
Is that enough, Kyle?
Yeah, but I tweeted that. I was like, I don't know exactly what Kyle was trying to get out of her, but like that would have been
weird though.
But like, I believe that. But I just love how every time this season, Kyle like tries to be an actor and, you know, play up all the drama for the show. And Sutton's just like, what are you getting at?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dame Kyle Richards from Halloween Kills.
Yeah, like she's just so dramatic and so fake. And Sutton's like, I'm not doing this.
When Rena was like, Kyle, the number one movie in the country. Woo! And you know, like Rena's only used to like Lifetime movies and Days of Our Lives. And she was just, you know, Kyle was like, are you really happy? Like I was like, is Rena really happy for her? Is Rena, it's just like, you never can trust Rena.
Anything with jealousy.
And Harry, what did you think of the Harry text message with Sutton? Do you think Harry texted Sutton?
No, Rinna sent it.
Yeah, right. Like, and then Rinna then posted a further receipt, I put in quotes, to Queens of Bravo or something that said, like, here's my proof that Harry did it. And it was her texting with her girlfriend saying, Harry texted Sutton. I'm like, that's not a receipt. I could text Sophie right now that I have $1 million in the bank. And like, that's not a proof of that.
Exactly. Like, come on. Rinna's so full of shit. I can't with her.
I do have something. I can't tell you who on the, I can tell you afterwards, but I have it now. I have proof that Rinna does give information to Bravo accounts that are nice to her. That like literally she is giving information.
What kind of information? Because
just shit to look out for about Kathy Hilton, just shit to watch. I mean, like, and which is
maybe that's how the Kathy Hilton Aspen story leaked.
Well, I am wondering one thing in regards to the Kathy. They showed the preview for the entire season after the first episode like 2 weeks ago, and they did not include the scene with Kathy trying to get in the store and Erica and Rinna and they're like, don't let her in. You know what I'm talking about? The very last scene of the preview, they cut that scene from the trailer. It's not there anymore. And part of me is scared. Kathy's been so quiet about all of this that is there a way that Kathy could get that storyline removed? There's just no way, right? Rinna wouldn't even allow it. Rinna and Erica wouldn't allow it.
I don't know. I don't know if she would. I don't know. That's a good question. My other thought, if she's having a falling out with Kyle, would Kyle be like, I don't want Kathy on the show anymore because she hasn't been in the first two episodes. Has she?
No. Well, but remember remember like when they first started filming, we knew that Kathy was trying to renegotiate her contract. I think we even talked about this on an episode at one point because she doesn't even come in until halfway through the season, unless they do some weird lying editing where they put like, Kathy's taking a shit and the other, she's definitely here. She's taking a dump, you know, like, other than that, I don't think we're going to see her for at least five more episodes.
Kyle also probably has been so bitter about the fact that Kathy became a fan favorite in one season. Something that Kyle has failed to do in 11 seasons.
Did you see they put out, this is the rumored Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip season two comes out in a couple weeks. But supposedly they have like the new cast for season three. This is kind of a rumor, but it is kind of going around. So I'm really curious. Did you see this? The rumored people in trying to find the tweet I sent to myself. It was Lisa Rinna, Erica Jane were two of the cast members.
No.
Lisa Barlow. Damn, where is that tweet?
Need to isolate Rinna and Erica Jane. Like when they're just going to end up bullying everyone.
And I think that's why, I think that's probably why they agree to do it in the first place.
Oh my God. I hate that.
I'm trying to my notes. Oh, here it is. Lisa Rinna, Margaret Josephs, Giselle, where are the other pictures? But it was just like a hodgepodge of like, wow, if you have Lisa and Erica together, I don't like that. I think that would be a bad.
I hate that. We need to isolate them so they can actually like, we need a Lisa Rinna takedown season. Erica Jane has already, I feel like, been taken down, but like we need a real Rinna takedown.
Also, are you safe? I think New York has a lot of monkeypox cases. Are you safe from the monkeypox?
So far I am.
Wait, what's that thing on your face? The thing with the pus?
I have a rash on my knee and I thought it was razor burn.
Ah! That's monkeypox, dude. You've got monkeypox burn.
No.
Well, isn't it funny the Kardashians leave and all of a sudden monkeypox happens?
Isn't that like a common like vaccination that people get? Like when they're kids or no?
I don't know, but I can't wait to have the anti-vaxxers going, I will not take monkeypox vaccine. No way.
That's fine.
Okay. Also, here's some positive news. Harry Styles' new album came out, Harry's House, on Friday. I'm in love with Harry Styles. Are you? How are you with Harry?
I like Harry. I was actually just saying this also. I like never listen to new music anymore. All I do is listen to Ashley Simpson's smash hit debut album, Autobiography.
Wait, for
that's
real?
All I do is listen to the same music.
Monday.
I'm fading.
It is a really great album. It is a great album.
But like, I really like never listen to new music anymore. So I need to start doing that so I can like be like in, you know?
Wait, and, like I wonder, why Ashley Simpson's that? Like now I'm kind of fascinated by that.
I just love that album. It's an amazing album. 2004.
What music does your dude? No, I know it is, but it just, why was that like a seminal period in Sophie's life that like is like cemented in your brain?
It was like one of my favorite CDs that I had when I like had a CD player and I would just play it on repeat. And now I like still love it.
What does your dude listen to?
He listens to
Sophie too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm just like, I'm not like a huge, like, yeah, oh my God, I listened to the new Jack Harlow album. Like, I'm never going out of my way to like listen to albums. I listen to podcasts, and actually I'm listening to a podcast right now that's so good. You guys, it's called Liar Liar, and everyone knows I love scammer stories.
Yeah.
It's about this Australian financier who basically pulled a Bernie Madoff, Melissa Caddick, and she pulled a Bernie Madoff and then disappeared. She still hasn't been found, but her foot washed up on shore right when she was getting investigated. Her foot washed up on shore and people are like, oh, she's probably dead then. And then they're like, you can live without a foot.
Yeah.
She's a sociopath. Everyone needs to listen to this podcast.
It's what's it called?
Liar, Liar. And it's about Melissa Caddick. But anyway,
One to recommend. It's called Dirty Money Moves, Women in White Collar Crime. Ooh. I talked to the host of this, Jamie King. It'll be on Wednesday, I think. And it's iHeartRadio, but it's this lady, Mary Carol McDonald, who managed to hustle Bank of California out of $15 million. And she was a TV producer in true crime and then managed to like hustle $15 million out of Bank of California, whatever I just said. And I talked to her on Wednesday's show and she was really dope. So I don't know. You might dig that as well.
Oh, but I definitely would.
Speaking of scammers, I thought you would like this story. Wild. Billy McFarlane, the head of Firefest, and Martin Shkreli, the pharma bro, they both got released from prison this week. Did you read this?
I saw that pharma bro did. I didn't hear that Billy McFarlane did, but wow.
Yeah, he is at a halfway house now, but they both got released.
Halfway house?
Yeah, that's where he's going to serve out the remainder of his time. But they both got out early on good behavior. And I just think that's so Billy McFarlane, you guys, if you don't know, he's the guy behind Firefest, but he has had a laundry list of scams. And Gabrielle Bluestone.
Yeah, he can start scamming like immediately now that he's out. Even showed like when he was in trouble for Firefest, he was still scamming while like awaiting trial.
He was trying to do a podcast, you guys, from jail. And they were like, yo, you're not allowed to do that. He would like use his phone time and it would be in like 10 minute spurts. And they caught him doing this. And you're like, you can't have a podcast in jail.
Oh my God.
Watching The Staircase?
Okay. I know this is weird because I'm obsessed with true crime. I have never found that case like interesting. Like I know it's like everyone's obsessed with it. They're like the documentary. I listened to a podcast about it years ago. I don't find it interesting. That case isn't like taking up my life. Like everyone else is obsessed with that like single case. And I'm just like, I just don't think it's that interesting. Why is there so much content about it?
Well, because of the Sundance documentary that came out like 15 years ago, I remember going like, because I had never seen anything like that. It was one of the big kind of originators of true crime and case and all of this stuff. We actually had like first front row access to this guy's story because they agreed to like film it. So that's why I think it was like so big at the time. But then like it went through so many like, you know, the retrial and all of this stuff. I got to say the HBO show is pretty good. Like I was kind of like you of like, I've seen this. I don't need to see more of it, but I kind of like the acting is so, it's just top notch. It's another one of those things that like the Dropout where I'm like, TV is so damn good lately. They just have it all over movies.
I heard it's amazing. I also heard Under the Banner of Heaven or whatever with Andrew Garfield is amazing also, but I have not started that yet.
I wanted to get a quick review of Doctor Strange from you. We all know that you saw it last week with your
dude. Oh my God.
You had sushi and Doctor Strange. Now, how deeply did you fall in love with Multiverse of Madness and Doctor Strange?
It was the worst movie I've ever seen.
Dude.
My boyfriend made me see No Way Home, like the Spider-Man movie. And I could like at least get into that.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't need like the full context. So Doctor Strange, I was like, what the hell is going on? I could not get into it. I was like dozing. I closed my eyes. I was playing on my phone. I
like, could not. Wait, all the shit you're not supposed to do in a movie, Sophie was doing in the movie.
I could not. I was like, I wasn't like shining my phone brightly. Like I wasn't being like, you know, someone that Nicole Kidman wouldn't like, you know, in the end.
Yeah, in the magic of the movie. I
was respectful about it, but like, it was so bad. But you know, movie we did love.
Old.
We loved Old. The beat.
You loved Old. M. Night Shyamalan. Yeah, we talked about it last week. It's on HBO Max, you guys, and it's literally the beach when people go get old. It's ridiculous. You guys loved it.
We loved it. We loved it. We were like, that was a great piece of cinema.
So at least you guys have, or did you feel pressured to say you liked Old to make up for not liking Doctor Strange?
No, I actually, and it was my choice to watch it.
Okay,
I was like, let's watch Old about the beach that makes you old. And my boyfriend was like, what are you talking about? He's like never even heard of it. But M. Night Shyamalan remembers his like neighbor. Not his like next neighbor, but he's from like the same suburb or whatever. So I was like, let's like drive by next time we're home and like be like, M. Night, that was a great one. I liked it. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was. I think it's because you always have this, like this kind of gimmick in it. It's like, you know, his movies have this gimmick.
And also it was like insane what was happening to them. And like a lot of them were just like really weirdly calm about it. They were just like, okay, so what do we do? It's like, wait, how are you not having like a full blown panic attack?
No, it's a why. I mean, yeah, I would, guys, if you have nothing else to do on a Friday night, like, or any night of the week, you can turn it on.
I highly recommend it. And there is an M. Night Shyamalan twist.
Yeah. And by the way, did you catch that M. Night Shyamalan was the guy that drove them there?
Yes.
He always puts himself as a little thing in the movie.
I was like, it's M. Night Shyamalan.
M. Night Shyamalan, my ding dong. This is interesting. Did you ever get into Jersey Shore or any of those? I know you got into The Hills.
I love Jersey Shore and The Hills, duh. But yeah, I love Jersey Shore back in the day. Kept up with like Family Vacation or anything.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. It's kind of comfort TV for a lot of people, though. MTV and Viacom announced this week that Jersey Shore and The Hills they're doing both like reboots of those. So what that means, you guys, is it's going to be the same, like The Hills and Jersey Shore, the same font, the same graphics, just a whole new cast, a whole new young cast. And the Jersey
Shore. Didn't they already do The Hills New Beginnings and it was like terrible?
Yeah, this will have no actual people from those original iterations. And The Jersey Shore cast flipped their lid. They all posted on social the same thing saying, we took a chance on a struggling network so many years ago, and this is how they repay us. And they all reposted the same thing, you guys. And it is just wild because I guess MTV was kind of shocked that they all kind of banded together and did this.
That's
and it's very
so
smart
embarrassing for them.
What is, but it's what it is, you guys, because it dilutes the brand, like for them, because they now make their yearly, you know, their yearly salary still on Jersey Shore. And they don't want a bunch of hot, new, young Italians coming in and taking over. This is like, this happens all the time in pop culture and things of that nature. And so it is like the way that things happen, but it's interesting to watch them react to it because they're one of the few people that actually did stick together and kind of got their shit straight, including the situation. And they're like, fuck no, we're Jersey Shore, you know?
Right. It's still like, okay, I mean.
No, totally. But a corporation doesn't give a fuck about their feelings.
Yeah, it's like any reality show. They're going to move on with a new cast eventually. They just got lucky that they really were such a dynamic, like a great group that really worked together and, you know, was a hit with the fans. But like all good things must come to an end.
Jennifer Lopez is, you guys, Jennifer Lopez has a new documentary on Netflix. I believe it's called Halftime. It's coming out pretty soon. The trailer got released and I don't know why I'm laughing. It's all about her halftime show at the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And I don't know, you know, like, I don't know. It just, the thing that makes me laugh about it, I guess, is like how serious the trailer is. And it's like, guys, I couldn't even tell you I think I watched it, did not even stick in my brain at all. Like I was like, oh, Jennifer Lopez is doing the Super Bowl. Oh, she already did it. And this is a whole trailer of like, no, look at me. We got to do it. No, perfect. We do dun, dun, dun. And I think it's hysterical. The kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like it's different with Lady Gaga for some reason, but then I'm like, okay, you know, you chose the Super Bowl. It's you're not Beyonce homecoming, you know?
Well, I think with Lady Gaga also, like, she's Lady Gaga. I know that some people will categorize J-Lo as like a superstar, but like.
And she is in a way. Yeah.
I think again, maybe J-Lo falls in the category of Pete Davidson, where it's like your tabloid, you know, presence is bigger than your body of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my opinion.
Well, listen. I do have like a people that are J-Lo freaks, but I've never just fully understood it. Like I've come to understand all of the Britney adulation. I've come to understand, but the J-Lo fandom is interesting. The J-Lo fandom to me was like, if you guys remember, like I was like reading Us Weekly before the internet, when J-Lo was the one that invented the big ass, the Kardashians now have co-opted that. But if you go back and look, I always get frustrated. Like J-Lo must be pissed because she's the one that we always said had a big butt. And they were like, jokes and everybody was lusting over it.
J-Lo's butt looks like tame.
Normal.
Compared to what's been like normalized by the Kardashians, which is like a BBL ass. And if you saw Khloe.
Dude, the ass coming out of the shot.
Her ass was coming out of her dress. And then everyone was like staring at her and people were like, oh my God, look at everyone staring. And then you see the back and it's like, that's why they were staring. And at one point, I think she wrapped a sarong, but it just like ruined the outfit. Oh my God. It was
when you're dissolving BBLs and all that. And then Kim like had to post an ass photo this week in regards to all of the BBL conversation. She's like, look, I still have an ass. I still have a huge ass. But it's funny. It's like they're doing all of these weird procedures. And sometimes I feel like in Chloe's case in Portofino, that photo, it's like, I don't think like some of this shit has got to get out of control where your body just rejects certain things that are being done to it.
Well, right. And also like when you get these surgeries, you have to like keep it up with actually like working out, like diet and exercise. I know Chloe's like a freak about that, but like it just like can go south very quickly. And I feel like it's already, you know, it's not looking great. And I also was reading something, I think it was like in the Kardashian subreddit. It was like, we're so used to seeing the airbrush versions of them where they look flawless and airbrush on Instagram that when we actually see real photos of them, we're like, ugh.
No, it's like,
so it's like they're doing themselves a disservice by like Photoshopping themselves so much. Cause like they don't actually look like that.
Yeah, completely. Good news for all you ladies out there, or soon to be good news. Nick Cannon admits he's had a vasectomy consultation, so he won't, his quote, populate the earth. Now, this is super exciting because Nick was like somebody over COVID who decided to have like 8 kids with 8 different people. The thing that's frustrating is like, why are you just getting a consultation? Let's go. Let's do it already.
Let's
like,
do the damn thing.
Yeah. What are we consulting about? Like, there's a problem. We need to do this.
I think we can all collectively breathe a sigh of relief. I was worried that I was going to get pregnant with Nick Cannon's child.
Sometimes I've worried that I was going to get, and I know that's not even humanly possible, but you just never know when you have a Nick Cannon running around
on the loose,
untethered like he has been.
Right.
Speaking of that, Machine Gun Kelly dedicated a song to Megan Fox and his unborn son. Some people say that might have been that they had lost a baby, miscarried a baby. But then this is like what I find ridiculous about pop culture. Megan Fox Instagrammed their text conversations. And there was this one text that was like, you know, that blue outfit you got me for the award show. I just cut a hole in it so we can have sex.
Yeah. Is there any hole in the crotch to have sex? Like, aren't her sons old enough to like follow her
read?
And know what's going on? Like, yeah, it's just like, so no one needs to know. We know you're having sex.
It's the Courtney Travis thing of like, yo, like I'm so happy you guys are horny for each other. And like, it's so cool that you want to stick things in other holes that of like your partner. But like the thing that always weirds me out is like, you want us to know about it so bad. Like you need us to know. That's part of the orgasm for them is knowing that we know, you know?
Right. Which is very bizarre.
Yeah. I'm just saying don't ever. And I bet, you know what? I bet part of it is like, she didn't cut a hole. I bet this is all just like, play anyways. I bet we can find that blue outfit right now and there's no hole.
Right.
This is so stupid. Some quick hits before we, Summer House real quick. Summer House ended this past week. We had that one moment from Amanda where they cut and it was Paige going, I hate Carl. Carl's an asshole. And Amanda was like, no, Carl works for us. Carl's like a good guy, Carl. And then Lindsay tainted Carl.
Yeah. And it's just interesting because I think if you actually care about someone, you would say it's objectively a good thing that someone who is, you know, working on their sobriety has found someone that is willing to be sober with them and help them with their recovery. And the fact that they can't even see that and they just have this like seething hatred for Lindsay that like doesn't even make any sense. And you see that Kyle like tried to come to Amanda's defense on Instagram.
Yeah. Bravo on Cocktails.
Like,
yeah.
She was trying to say that, like, you know, Carl is so close to us. He's more than just a friend, like, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, and then everyone was commenting. They were like, then why did you say? And Lindsay ended up responding. She was like, but I'm tainting Carl. Like, well,
So I did this on the Patreon live the other night, and I haven't done this on the show, but Amanda DM'd me, actually. And
what did she say?
Yeah. And like, you know, you guys know me. Like, I literally shit myself when I saw it come in. I was like, no, because I hate to think of them as real people. And I've talked to Amanda on the show, and I always liked Amanda and Kyle. I still do like Amanda and Kyle. But she said, she goes, I hear you're disappointed in me. she wrote this really, and I felt so bad. She wrote like a paragraph, and I was just like, yo, I don't know you for real, and you don't know me, and I know I shouldn't take this stuff that seriously. But I said, listen, I'm used to hearing that stuff from Paige. It was just shocking from you. And I said, it also makes me think.
What did she say in her paragraph?
Well, I'm not going to, but it also, but the thing that I wrote, it makes me think that we're not getting a huge piece of information about Lindsay. Like, it doesn't make sense to me why they all dislike her this much.
I think, okay, so some of the theories, and I also talk about this on my podcast episode that's dropping Tuesday, but like, I think that they all felt like they were overshadowed by the Lindsay Carl romance, because by the time the season aired, that's all everyone cared about. And Paige thought that she was going to get her fairy tale romance with Craig, and that was going to be the center. And then everyone like hated Craig when he was on, and everyone thinks she looks like a fool for ending up with him. And Sierra, I think, you know, would have worked out perfectly for Sierra to end up on Southern Charm like Paige if she could have nailed down Austin. Lindsay ruined that. And then Amanda was supposed to get, you know, finally her wedding, and that was going to be the focus, like her and Kyle. Lindsay and Carl kind of overshadowed that, and they only got like 5 minutes in the finale. So I think that everyone was like maybe a little bit bitter that Lindsay kind of overshadowed them, which isn't Lindsay's fault. It's like, sorry that she's MTV's reality star of the year and you're not. Like,
but Sophie, also, I kind of even look at that a little differently, is that like, I don't think there's so much attention to go around. I feel Paige and Craig got a lot of positive attention, even if it wasn't from us. I feel like it's like, how much do these people want? If your theory is correct, it just doesn't make sense to me, because I'm like, I saw so many positive comments about Paige and Craig. Like, how much do people need at like every, you got to share the pie, you know?
Paige looked so miserable at the reunion.
She really did. And even Andy kept calling it out, which I know Andy loves shit like that.
I think that she probably was noticing the tides were turning. She was always kind of like a fan favorite in a way, where people like were, you know, always down to defend her. And now no one's defending her and everyone hates her. And I actually read an article on The Dip, and it was saying that Paige is the new Jax Taylor because she wants to be the number one girl in the group, but she's just not.
Well, I thought that first part of the reunion was Paige making a play to be the queen bee. It was like, Andy, look at us. We're younger. We're funnier. I thought Paige was really trying to make a case to take things over, you know?
And it's not, didn't work.
Okay. As we wind down here, Stranger Things drops on Friday. We got 7 episodes coming, 2 of which are like insane. These are like hour and a half episodes. Last episode is 2 hours and 30 minutes, the episode of TV. And they're spending so much money on this, yet Netflix keeps firing a lot of people, good people. Like Evan Ross Katz got let go this week. Like all of these really good people where I'm like shocked.
It was crazy seeing my Twitter feed, and it was all of these writers
I know.
I realized worked for Netflix, and all of these writers had gotten laid off at the same time. Meanwhile, they're spending $30 million an episode on freaking Stranger Things. Like,
do you ever do that though? Where like, I was doing the same thing where I was like, holy shit, I didn't know I followed this many. I didn't know I followed this many people that work for Netflix. Like was saying they lost a job that day.
Totally. Yeah. I had no idea that I followed that many Netflix employees. And yeah, it's really,
I remember checking your account, because I was like, I wonder if Sophie works for Netflix.
You just like had no idea that I was.
Yeah. Like who knows
content. But I think that Netflix has really, they're like the fast fashion of streaming services, where they pump out all of this mediocre stuff instead of like quality content that people really want to tune in for. I don't know. I've said that.
I mentioned it last. Well, no, I don't think I told you, but I finally watched, Severance.
And oh, I loved, I know. I mean, so good.
I just love, I mean, couldn't have loved it more. I'm right. So bummed.
It's an amazing show, you guys. If you haven't watched it yet, this is your sign.
But Doja Cat. Oh, loved it. Loved it. So special. Doja Cat has canceled all of her tour dates, and she had a stadium tour with The Weeknd. She has to get surgery on her vocal cords. And that's like a big time for her to cancel, just in terms of her popularity. So hopefully she is well. Also this week, Obi-Wan Kenobi comes out on Disney Plus. If you guys are fans of the Star Wars franchises, Real Housewives of Atlanta, I'm telling you guys, get into it. It's not your Beverly Hills, but it's really good. These ladies are awesome together. And this past week, they were at like a baby, like a Kenya's kid's birthday party. And they're doing like a horrible game where they're bringing up sex things around kids and their parents. It's awesome.
Yeah. No.
It's- yeah. Yeah. And oh, Real Housewives of Atlanta. Yeah, baby. It's, what about me, Caitlin? And Real Housewives of Dubai trailer released this week, as well as Southern Charm. Did you have any opinions as we go with Southern Charm? We saw the Austin and Craig and all that shit.
The trailer did look amazing with Austin and Craig like fighting with both of their beer bellies hanging out. Like, I love that moment. I can't wait for that.
Sometimes that's the only reason why I want shows to continue, just to see how these people like literally fall apart. I mean, I say the same thing about my own life, but like, it's fun to watch year after year, just people get older.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Also, okay, finally, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I just beg people, no matter if you hate Amber Heard, if you think she's fucking horrible, blah, 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 just try to, I don't know.
Do your own research.
Yeah, do your own research.
And read the facts instead of just looking at what the algorithm is showing you, which a lot of it is propaganda.
But just remember, you know, just kind of look into the case, look into all, yeah, like you said, do your own research. Remember, not everybody is perfect. I'm not, this is not me going, I love everything Amber Heard, but I really want to point out that these things do affect other ladies and other women. And yeah. You could say, well, her behavior does too, but whatever. I just want to say that there is not like, you know, Johnny Depp, whether you love every fucking movie he's done some wild shit. Like if you watch the case, he's done some wild shit. And yes, he's so charming. He's like Scott Disick in a lot of ways, but just be careful what you allow in there. Even this podcast included, question everything that we say. But I really appreciate anybody out there listening. Everybody needs to go and listen to Sophie's podcast on Tuesday. Go subscribe to that. Also go subscribe to her Substack. She did a great article this past weekend, or I think it came out on Friday. Anything else coming up that we need to know about?
No, that's about it.
Okay. Well, you are going to go out and have a wonderful dinner with your monkeypox. And I'm sure there will be 10 things that happen in the next 2 hours that we should have talked about. But you guys, I hope you have a great week ahead of you. And thank you for spending this hour with us.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Betches.